Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hi, I'm Nancy Goodman Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
We'd like to welcome you to the first session of Viewpoints, a radio program featuring ideas and information for the visually impaired to help you live more independently.
So I'm actually visually impaired myself, and we'd like to share some of the tips we've learned and picked up through the years about living with a disability like that. My state of my vision now is I see basically lights and shadows. I was born with congenital glaucoma and have had many complications since.
I'm sighted, and with eyeglasses, I have normal corrected vision. But I've been married to Pete for 27 years, so I've got that much experience living with a visually impaired person. So this week, and every week, we're going to start the show with a tip of the week. Then we'll spend a few minutes on a low-tech topic, followed by discussing in detail an item of interest, and then spend a few minutes on a high-tech topic before wrapping up and closing. This week, we're going to cover tips for shopping, both in a physical store and online. Next, we'll have an in-depth discussion of the Library of Congress's National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, otherwise known as NLS. And at the end, we'll talk about how to get and listen to podcasts. So as we said, we'll start this show and every show with a tip of the week. This week's topic is wearing eyeglasses even if you can't see. As he said, Pete's been blind to varying degrees his entire life. Corrective lenses could never have been of any help to him since his biggest visual problem was damage to his optic nerve from glaucoma. However, when he was 30, he started wearing eyeglasses. So, Pete, can you tell the story of how and why you started wearing glasses?
Well, as you indicated, I couldn't see that well when I was younger either. But I didn't wear my glasses, and I was dancing one evening and wound up bumping into somebody and scratching my cornea, and that was quite a painful process. So after that, I decided that even though glasses wouldn't help me see any better, it was a good idea to have some protection to protect the limited vision that I did have. And they've come in quite useful, as you know, over the years.
We are forever going to the glasses store to get them straightened out again after some wall or whatever did damage to the glasses, but at least they don't usually damage Pete.
Right. Our last incident was actually just a couple of days ago when I was shoveling out a little bush in the backyard, and I bent over to take one more good shovelful, and one of the branch of the bushes smacked me right in the glasses and knocked the glasses. They went flying, but fortunately, I only got a little scratch on my nose, so you know, there was a very good circumstance where it came in useful.
As I recall, the first pair of glasses you tried to get was at the safety glasses shop at Xerox, where we both have recently retired after long careers. That was kind of funny, huh, Pete?
They balked a little bit. They wouldn't give me my free pair of safety glasses unless I had a prescription. Well, of course, I didn't have any prescription. I just wanted plate glass and something safe. So I actually had to go to the eye doctor and get a prescription for just some minimal prescription so they would be happy.
As I recall, the doctor put plate glass in front of the eye he had a little bit of vision through, but the prescription in front of the eye that had no vision because he didn't want to mess up whatever Pete was seeing. So he didn't change what was coming in to the eye where he could see a little bit.
Right. The other thing I've found useful is to get a frame that's good and sturdy. Sometimes, you know, you want to get some designer-looking frame, looks very nice, but I found that some of those are a little bit too flimsy, and when I walk into a wall or get hit with something, they'll get bent all out of shape, and they often won't protect as they're supposed to. So that's one of the things I look for when I get glasses these days.
In fact, one time we had to go back and replace the glasses because we all thought, wouldn't it be neat to get a nice flexible pair of glasses? I don't know, 10 years ago, they started with these Twist-O-Flex glasses.
Right.
And we thought that would be pretty cool, but that turned out not to be so good.
Right. But we're always in the glasses store getting these things repaired when I walk into things. The other interesting thing is I walk around with a cane these days for mobility, and it always brings up some interesting questions. And sometimes, you know, people don't quite know what to do. They see someone with glasses and they see someone with a cane, and those give two very different signals to people. So sometimes it causes a little bit of confusion. you know, just talking to people and making them aware of what the situation is generally is helpful.
And one other benefit to the glasses is, frankly, they help cosmetically because the glare makes it a little harder to see Pete's eyes. And he's had a dozen operations at least, and it actually looks better with a little bit of the glare. And even though he can't see, Pete always likes to look good.
My only question is, now that all my friends are getting bifocals as they get older, I wonder if I should get bifocals to fit in.
You are listening to Viewpoint, 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 Viewpoint.
Okay, turning now to our low-tech item, we'll be talking about how a visually impaired person can shop. Whatever you think of shopping, everybody's got to eat and probably has some other needs too. And for a person who can't drive and can't read the prices or sometimes can't even find the prices, never mind the items, this can require some different techniques. So let's start with getting to the store. Okay, I give you a lot of rides, Pete, but you used to live by yourself before we met. How else would you get to the store or take care of that by yourself?
Well, when I first moved to town, I purposely moved into an area where there was good public transportation, there were sidewalks to most places, and I was relatively close to things that I needed to do, like stores and shopping and stuff. I never used a guide dog, although that's certainly an option for people, but I generally used my cane. And on Sunday mornings, I would, you know, take my cane out and throw a backpack on my back and walk down to the neighborhood supermarket. And that's generally how I work shopping. But I would generally prepare a list ahead of time and go into the service counter at the supermarket. And they were quite pleased to help me, and they would assign someone to help me push around a cart and pick up the items that were on my list and stuff. And that all worked very well. They were happy to help.
Well, and our friends and neighbors are always helpful as well. There was one time when I had shoulder surgery and I couldn't drive and Pete couldn't drive. And let me tell you, everybody we knew was offering us rides and they were all really good about it. But if you can't get a ride and you don't live close enough to walk, there's also the Lyft line service, which Pete recently signed up for.
Right. I mean, sometimes being in a situation like this really just it demands a little bit more planning. You know, it's possible to do these things, but it means you have to sometimes think about it ahead of time. You know, planning a ride in advance to give someone advance notice is a good idea. You wouldn't want to just call them up and say, hey, I need some milk now. But people are generally quite eager to help out other folks, but you have to be able to let them know how they can help and make it easy for them to help.
So another way you can shop is by telephone. And I always said that I do some of my best work on the telephone, whether this was at work or at home or whatever. You know, you ask for something. If you're convincing enough, you can make it happen. So one particular telephone story that comes to mind is when Pete was a kid and he had an operation every year or two or three or whatever. And even though he grew up on Long Island, these operations were usually in Philadelphia or Boston. Sure enough, every time he had an eye operation, his Aunt Rose would come from Long Island to Philadelphia or Boston, and she'd have a chocolate cake with her. So sure enough, one day when we were around 50 and Aunt Rose was in her 70s, she had an eye operation. Well, by gum, we had to get a chocolate cake to Aunt Rose. And I called up the bakery on Long Island and I said, can you please, you know, told them the whole story. Oh, that's so sweet. Do you deliver? No. Would you please? Because we're 400 miles away. Well, because the story was so nice, sure, they would deliver and they let me pay over the phone. I guess maybe they even waited for my check to arrive, but they delivered the cake that day. And then, of course, there's the web. And the web is a wonderful resource, whether or not you can see.
That's my secret way of shopping these days when I can't get someone to take me to stores or something.
I think Pete's best friend is Amazon.
Amazon is a good friend. That's true. And I used to go shopping with friends around holiday times and birthdays and stuff. And, you know, I'd say, you know, Nancy's birthday's coming up. But again, you'd have to plan. I'd try to think about it a month in advance. I know many of my friends used to go out during lunchtime to get a birthday present for their wife in the evening. And that was more difficult in my situation. So it just meant thinking a little and planning a little in advance.
You are listening to Viewpoint, 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 Viewpoint.
Okay, now we're going to turn to our focus item for today. And we figured our target audience would have a particular interest in accessible reading material, since you're listening to a radio reading service. So we've selected a discussion of one source of accessible reading material as the focus item for our very first program. We'll start by listing over a dozen sources just to give you an idea of how much is available, and then we'll concentrate on one particularly useful source. So here are some places where you can get accessible reading material. Obviously, the radio reading services. The Library of Congress, National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, that's what we'll be focusing on. Bookshare, public libraries have a lot of audio material these days in various formats. Bookstores also have a lot of audio material in various formats. Project Gutenberg, Audible.com, NFB Newsline, the internet has everything. National Braille Press, Recordings for the Blind and Dyslexic, ebooks on readers such as Kindle, the Nook, the Sony Reader, iPad, etc., cell phone applications, and various agencies for the blind or print impaired. And oftentimes, if somebody tries to hand us something in print, we'll just ask them to email a digital copy so that Pete can access it on a computer. And these days, anything that's in print started out digital, so you know they've got it. So we'd like to focus on the Library of Congress, NLS, officially the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped.
I think this is one of the better services, and this is, you know, funded by your tax dollars, and it's a free service offered by the National Library Service and the Library of Congress. So this is something really to take advantage of, and they have quite a wealth of materials available and services available. Many of these programs are administered through regional libraries. Several dozen of them around the country. I used to get all of my books through the New York State Library in Albany. But they offer many services, like they'll send you recorded books, free matter for the blind, and you can mail these books back and forth. So it's sort of like having one of these video services where you mail things back and forth and just, you know, order what you want ahead of time.
And they do that in Braille also,
they
right?
They do that in Braille. Yeah, we've had on our front doorstep, Braille, as you may know, is pretty bulky. Each book is about a foot by a foot square and then maybe 4 inches deep or so for one volume, and it may be three volumes to make a regular print book. We've had piles of those on our doorstep before. But they do send Braille. They also have Braille music for people who are interested in music. I think they used to send large print. I'm not sure if they still do that. In addition to having a lot of reading material, classic novels, popular novels that are current, nonfiction items, they also have a whole list of magazines that they're able to send you, again, free matter for the blind. So you can get magazines such as the Atlantic Monthly or Discover magazine if you're into scientific things. There are also a whole wealth of materials for children and younger readers, both books and magazines. So they're quite a useful service. They used to send out recorded tapes for their books, but these days they're moving over to a digital system for everything. And they actually lend you for free the equipment that you need to play their audio books and their digital books. So they'll send you a machine that's capable of putting in the memory cartridge with the book on it, and they're very accessible. They have large buttons for people who have dexterity problems and things like that, and they're very simple to use. They're made to be user friendly.
So this would be a good time to give you the main web address, which is www.loc for Library of Congress .gov/NLS, and it is a very, very, very accessible and easy to work website. Everything's in fairly large print if you just have a slight visual loss, and very easy to navigate. And right on the homepage, they've got a link to the application for using their free library service, and they've got it in both English and Spanish. And if you need the Adobe Free Reader to be able to use that link is right next to the link for the application for the service. And it's great. Everything just shows up right in your mailbox. You don't have to go anywhere, and you get all this reading material.
Well, the other thing that's kind of interesting, which again is a pretty new service, they have most of it there, although it works pretty well now. If you're more technically savvy and you don't want to wait for your books to be delivered via the U.S. Postal Service, you can download most of this material, the magazines and books, in audio format these days. So they have a website you can go to, and they make it very easy, very nice website, very accessible. They make it very easy to search for books, for magazines, and then download them. Then you can either read these books, listen to them on your computer, or if you have some kind of portable reader, an MP3 player, or a device that's made for the visually impaired to listen to, or through one of the machines that they'll lend you, you can just listen to them there and not have to wait for your books. You also ought to talk about the eligibility requirements. I guess we have some information on that.
We do.
On their website?
A link right on their website. Like I said, it's a great website with all sorts of information. So to be eligible for this service, the following persons are eligible for service: blind persons whose visual acuity as determined by competent authority, and we'll get to who that is 20/200 or less in the better eye with correcting lenses, or whose widest diameter of visual field subtends an angular distance no greater than 20 degrees. But you don't actually have to have a problem with your eyes, and we've recommended this service to a number of friends and whatnot, whose eyes were fine, but, you know, one friend had been in an awful accident and he couldn't use his hands to turn the pages. So other physically handicapped persons are eligible as follows. This also comes from the NLS website. Any person whose visual disability with correction, regardless of optical measurement, is certified by competent authority as preventing the reading of standard printed material. Persons certified by competent authority as unable to read or unable to use standard printed material as the result of a physical limitation, or persons certified by competent authority as having a reading disability resulting from organic dysfunction of sufficient severity to prevent their reading printed material in a normal manner. So you can hold the book, you can turn the pages, you can see what's on it just fine, but maybe you've got severe dyslexia or whatever, and so you're eligible too. Now, the certifying authority is kind of interesting. Obviously, your physician, in particular your ophthalmologist and optometrist, you know, that's one great resource you can go to and ask them for a letter certifying that you're print impaired, but not just them. So in addition, you can use as a competent authority a registered nurse, a therapist, professional staff of a hospital, institution, or public or private welfare agency. So this would include a social worker, a caseworker, a counselor, rehabilitation teachers, superintendents, and this is really cool, in the absence of any of these, certification may be made by professional librarians or by any person whose competence under specific circumstances is acceptable to the Library of Congress. And in the case of a reading disability from organic dysfunction, a competent authority is defined to include doctors of medicine and doctors of osteopathy who may consult with colleagues in associated disciplines. So they're really pretty broad in accepting who they'll let use this service. And it, like Pete said, it's a really, really powerful service.
So I wanted to point out again, I'll have Nancy repeat the web address where you can find the applications and more information. But, you know, for those that aren't so technically savvy with computers and into that kind of technology, if you go down to your local public library, most of the reference librarians would know about where to get the applications and information about the Library of Congress services. And that's might be an easier place to go for people. And maybe you just want to remind people of the web address so they can write it down?
Sure. So the web address is www.loc.gov/NLS. So that's the Library of Congress website for the National Library Service. And I'm going to repeat it, www.loc.gov/NLS. And if you'd rather contact them by telephone, it's area code 202-707-5100. If you want to send them an email question, that email address would be all one word, NLS NLSREF, so like NLS reference, NLSREF at loc.gov. So you can reach them lots of different ways. And if you're ever in Washington, D.C., and you want to visit the Library of Congress, that's a pretty interesting place to visit as well. So now we're getting to our high-tech item for this week. And you'll be hearing us say this every week. You can download a podcast of this show to listen to when it's convenient for you. Well, that's great, but only if you know how to do it. So podcasts will be available for this show, for other shows that are broadcast on this and other radio reading services, and most other radio stations also provide podcasts. In preparing for this program, I was kind of curious, so I went to www.npr.org, clicked on podcasts, got a podcast directory, and when I went to sort by title, I got a list of over 800 shows whose podcasts were available from a huge number of different providers. In fact, NPR alone has about 60 podcasts available. You could be listening all day. So this is a great source of interesting listening material. And now Pete's going to describe how you might access some of these podcasts.
So just a bit about podcasts for those of that may not be familiar with the term. Basically what a podcast is, it's an audio file on the web that you can download to your computer and from there download to other devices such as an MP3 player or reader. And it essentially gives you access to a lot of material, audio material and radio programs or other things like that. It gives you access to that material to be able to be listened to at your convenience. So you can listen to it anytime, any place. So for example,
we often listen in the car.
Right. We often will download a bunch of podcasts. One of our favorite NPR shows is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, that we're not always around to listen to when it airs. And often what we'll do is we'll download the podcast for the Wait, Wait program, and we'll put it on one of our MP3 players and then take this along with us in the car when we go on long trips. And then we'll have maybe half a dozen of these programs saved up. And as we go along, and Nancy will say, boy, I'm getting a little bit tired, you know, and since you're not going to take over any of the driving for me, what can we do to stay awake? And we'll put on a wait, and that'll be a little entertainment for us for a bit.
But we always limit ourselves. So we've almost never listened to more than two in a one day's drive. If it's a particularly long drive, we maybe listen to three. But, you know, there's just so many of these shows, and our trips have been getting kind of frequent. So we can't stockpile too many of them for a trip.
So we'll discuss in a future program a little bit more details about how to use podcasts, where to go specifically for some. But basically, the idea is there are programs that you can put on your computer that are called podcatchers. And I use a particular podcatcher called Juice. Basically, you set up this program to say, I want to subscribe to these various programs or podcasts. So I subscribe to the Wait, Wait podcast. I subscribe to some Blind Cool Tech podcast, which is a series of podcasts that people put up about helpful hints about new technologies, new gadgets, and you know, ways of overcoming some handicaps. There are other varieties of that, different news broadcast podcasts, radio programs you can subscribe to. So that's one very easy way to get a podcast. Use this program, and then the program will automatically check for these, automatically download them to your computer, and that way there really isn't a whole lot of work to it besides setting it up. And that way, once it's on your computer, you can easily copy it to your portable device or, you know, MP3 player. Also, you can download podcasts, you know, manually by hand. Often there'll be some podcasts on a particular website like the NPR website if you go to their podcast section, and you can download individual program segments. So they're very handy, and you know, again, it's a great way of listening to some of these programs that you may not otherwise be available for at the right time or the right place. You know, if you're gardening, you may want to be listening to Radio Lab or something, which is another NPR program, and you can just have your MP3 player with your headphones and be listening to this program, you know, outside or exercising or something.
Right, we make a lot of use of our MP3 players, both of us do, and I'll use mine out in the garden or while I'm jogging, and Pete will use his on his exercise bicycle, and whatever has been downloaded recently, man, that's what we're listening to. Although often either one of us will be listening to a book or live radio or whatever.
Right. Before the days of the MP3 players, by the way, we used to just take the podcast and burn them to CDs and then take those in the car. So there's many different ways of using these.
And there are a lot of different kinds of players, and many of them are accessible. And we'll save that for another show because we're running a little bit low on time here, but there's just all sorts of players available. And then in the car, we just plug one of those players into the auxiliary jack of the car radio. And we actually don't have one, but we have a tape player. So we got one of these gadgets at Radio Shack that it converts from the tape player into an auxiliary jack. And so we can listen directly to anything we've downloaded. So that's about it for this week. Next week, we'll be talking about organizing the house and using keyboard shortcuts instead of the mouse for interacting with a computer. The focus topic will be a free telephone service called Tell Me that gives you audio access to all sorts of information, including weather reports, stock quotes, local movies, whatever. If you have any questions regarding a product or anything else you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to reachout@wxxi.org, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. This program was hosted by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show by going to our website at wxxi.org/reachout and clicking on the audio podcasts link. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.